Father, I thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. Let that light shine, even our hearts this morning, that we may receive revelation, knowledge, and understanding from the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, your Red Sea moment. What I want to talk about this morning, and what does the Lord say during those moments? Well, go forward. It's what he says. You know, the story of the children of Israel, one of the most dramatic stories throughout that Bible, at least in the Old Testament, and perhaps even, you know, many, except for the story of Jesus coming out of that grave. You know, that it was a spectacular thing, you know, that they went through many years, 400 years and so forth, of suffering, of being tormented, of being oppressed. And when it was time for the Lord to bring them out of that place, the Lord brought them out with a high hand, you know, not without opposition. Of course, Pharaoh hardened his heart. The Lord already knew that. In fact, he said, well, I'll harden his heart, that I will show the power of my name. And the Lord, you know, he brought them out after many signs and wonders. The land of Egypt were told, and he brought them forth. You know, the people were not really ever sure of where they were going. You know, Moses was trying to encourage them the whole time. You know, the Lord has sent us and we're going. You know, and the hearts of the minds of the people, some of them were like, look, we don't really know. I mean, so anyway, they were going. And at the story, we're going to pick up this story, you know, in Exodus chapter 14. A very well known story. What we want to look at is, look, the Lord has put you on a path, a journey to a blessed haven and a promised land, so to speak. Well, your promised land may be different. We know that spiritually speaking, we've got one incredible promised land that the Lord promised us, you know, and he's coming to get us, take us there. Well, that's for later. You know, we trust the Lord, and those of us who are alive and remain waiting for the coming of the Lord, he's coming to do that. But every day we're on a journey. And this journey that we are here, this physical journey that we are on now, well, there's a place that we are going. And there's got to be a destination for every journey. You can't just start out. There's a few people by faith went out when God called Abraham. God told him to get out of his place where he was and go to a place that he knew not. But by faith, he went out, you know. But today, you know, it's very, very difficult to just step out on a journey without knowing where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, chances are you will not know how to get there because you don't even know where you're going. And if you are going on one particular direction, how do you know it's going to get you there when you don't even know where there is? You know, so, but these people, they knew something. They just didn't know how they're going to get there. And they had to imagine it in their minds, you know, because, you know, after many, many years of being pummeled and oppressed, it was hard for them to even imagine freedom. But freedom was just ahead. But you got to keep going forward. And it's not like, you know, everything is going to be great and rosy just because the Lord told you to go. Well, it's going to be all kinds of things along the way. And this was one of the most difficult challenges that they had to face. You know, they are going away from Egypt. We know that at some point, Pharaoh just started to chase them down. And now they come up against the Red Sea. Moses is taking them, you know, through these places they don't know. It's like they're going in a longer direction. Because the Lord said, look, if you take them over through here, they may see war and their hearts may faint. And they may try to turn back. So take them this other way. And he began to take them the other way. It was a longer route. And all of a sudden they end up right smack against the Red Sea. The Red Sea, of all things. I mean, how in the world are you going to cross the Red Sea? It's a massive thing, mass of water in front of you. I mean, the sea raging and everything. How in the world are you going to cross that? And they've got not just the men, they've got the women, they've got the children, they even got the little children. They got some of their belongings, they got some stuff, they packed and everything like that. And now they are about to perish in the Red Sea. It's either they try to cross the Red Sea, they will all drown there anyway, or they stay there and Pharaoh will catch up with them and kill them anyhow. You know, and some of them began to think, well, you know, well, better for us to have remained in Egypt, even in our bondage. Because there were graves there. Well, there are no graves there. They should have brought us out here to come and die here. But they forgot that they were crying out to the Lord in their trouble. But the Lord said to Moses, in Exodus chapter 3, when he encountered him, he said, look, I have seen the affliction of my people, and I have heard their cry. I've come down to set them free, and you're going to go there and bring them out. And they were facing this Red Sea, no place to go. No place to go. Now, as we go through these stories, you know, you just try to align the lessons with your own situation. You may be facing some Red Sea moments right now where it seems like there's no place to go. Even though the Lord promised you something and you started on the, you know, on that journey, but all of a sudden you meet this almost insurmountable. Actually, it wasn't almost in their minds. They knew this was insurmountable. Problem. How do you cross the Red Sea? You just can't do it. You know, so, you know, and here's what they said, you know, let's pick this story in Exodus, chapter 14. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. Verse 5. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this? That we should let Israel go from serving us. And Pharaoh made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand from the Lord. But the Egyptians pursued after them and all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. And they overtook them camping against the sea. You know, so when Pharaoh began to draw nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld, well, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they also said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou now taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? You should have let us alone. Isn't this the word we told you when you were in Egypt, that you leave us alone? That we may serve the Egyptians? Can you imagine that? You know, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. You know, so, I mean, this is the end of the road, it seemed like. You know, there's just no way out. And they are going to perish here by the sea today, they thought. But Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now, that's tremendous faith. How in the world, you know, is that going to happen? They've never been able to defend themselves against the terror of their oppressors. But Moses is telling them this thing. The Lord's going to do it. And so the Lord said to Moses, "Why criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." You know, they stopped short when they saw that Red Sea ahead. You know, Miriam and Aaron and the rest of them and Moses were leading the people. They said, "No, we're not going anywhere. Nowhere near that sea. Look at us and our women and our children and everything. They're not going." And the Lord said, "Well, you have got to go forward." See, that Red Sea will remain a Red Sea unless in your mind you determine to go forward. You know, it just like there, it was like, go forward to where? I mean, it was just all they could see all the way to the you know, as far as their eye could see was just the raging waters of the sea. You know, you look out at that sea, you see the horizon, even where it looks as if, you know, the sea meets the ground, but it's still just water. That's all you can see. How in the world are we going to cross this thing? But the Lord, you know, I said the other day when we did the, you know, a lesson such as this, God always has one more move, you know, and he was going to pull something out that nobody ever seen, you know. But today's lesson is that you must go forward. And the Lord told him, "Lift up your rod and stretch out the hand over the sea and divide it." Wow. "And the children of Israel shall go through on dry ground, through the midst of the sea." Well, that's scary stuff. You know, "and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians and they shall pursue them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts and his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I should have gotten me honor over them," and so forth, you know. And then the angel of the Lord went before the camp of Israel and removed, you know, he was always going before them. That's how he led them through the wilderness. Whichever way he turned was what Moses followed. But he removed, you know, the angel of the Lord and the pillar of fire, a cloud. He removed, cloudy in the day, fire in the night. He removed and went behind them, and he stood between them and the armies of Egypt. And they tried to drive those armies. I mean, they tried to drive those chariots and the horses wouldn't go. Because they're afraid of the pillar of fire. And if they try to move to the left, the pillar of fire moved in front of them. They tried to move to the right, pillar of fire moved in front of them. And it was like, they just couldn't get through. And those horses, they're not going to plunge their head through that fire. They're not going. And so Pharaoh is just, you know, waiting and furious and everything. And meanwhile, something incredible is about to happen. And Moses stretched out his hand. Hallelujah. He stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. You know, that's a sight to see. I wish I could have been there to see it. See how the Lord began to blow upon that sea. Hallelujah. And the thing began to, you know, the waves of the sea, they begin to get even bigger. It's like it started to go up like almost a tornado thing. And the thing began to spiral like that. And all of a sudden began to part. And the sea was deep too. And the Lord was just doing it all night long. The wind was coming there, blowing this thing apart, blowing it this way, moving through the midst of the sea like that, spiraling like it was like something spinning and spinning and spinning. And the waters began to pile. The waters began to pile. And Moses is thinking in his mind, "Wow, my goodness, I've seen this before." You know, one time the Lord, he showed Moses some things. Moses wasn't there in the time of the creation. But the Lord showed him a lot, and he wrote it down. And one time he said, you know, the Lord, when he looked and he saw that everything wasn't good or right and chaos and everything, the Holy Spirit began to move, and the Lord began to bring forth order. And out of all that chaos, you know, and the Lord, you know, called the light to shine forth and so forth, you know, and that was the first day. And the second day, you know, said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God did all of that. And it was the second day. And then on the third day, the Lord said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And Moses, he saw all of that. And he wrote it in the book of Genesis. And so when this thing began to happen again, he's thinking, I've seen that before. The Lord has shown me that. Let the dry land appear. Hallelujah. And Moses in his eyes said, yeah, I know the Lord can do it. I saw it before. He did it. Caused the dry land to appear. And the dry land began to move. I mean, the waters began to move. The waters began to move. It formed a heap. Began to form a heap on either side. Just visualize it. My goodness. All the night. Meanwhile, the pillar of fire was keeping the other group at bay. They couldn't get through it. And all night long. And as the day was breaking, they looked. It was like, oh my goodness. And Moses and Aaron and Miriam and the rest of them. Everybody is looking. And they are still afraid. Even with all of that. Because it's like, you know, how do we know these waters won't come crashing down upon us? Because it's a pile of like 15 feet high and pile on this side and so forth. And you have to go through on dry land, the waters raging on either side. How in the world do we know that this thing is going to stay and the waters won't come down? And Moses would have told them, because the Lord said so. You know, every time when he was in Egypt and so forth with them, they said, well, you know, how do we know that, you know, our sons will not be killed. Moses will say, well, the Lord said so. He gave the word. And he's faithful by his word. He said, none of you, as long as you stay in the house, put the blood on the doorpost, you'll be fine. And everybody was afraid that night, but they were fine. You know, and sometimes when they were arguing and debating in their mind, you know, people like Miriam and so forth would try to encourage them. You know, say, hey, you know, Moses, the Lord spoke to him. Let's believe. And, you know, it was a hard thing to go through that Red Sea. But ladies and gentlemen, go through on dry land, they did. Because the word of the Lord told them to go forward. And here's what the Lord said to you today. Have I not commanded you that you should go forward? That's right. He is our commander in chief. And he has spoken and given us commandment that we should go forward. And as long as you're cowering and, you know, not going near that sea and say, well, when are we even going to venture that? Look at our women and our children. Well, then it will remain a Red Sea. But when you step forward and those people, you know, by faith all night long, you know, very few of those people dare to believe. But Moses, he believed the word of the Lord. You know, and he has seen it before. The Lord showed him when he parted. He said, let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear. He's seen it before. He said, well, I know he can do it. And his faith carried those winds. That's right. You know, your faith will carry that wind and split the sea. But you got to believe the word of God. You know. You got to believe the word of God. Your faith can split that sea. And it split that sea right down the middle. And now they are ready to go. And the Lord said, you got to go forward. And listen to this. And they went forward. They actually did go forward, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. So let's read the rest of this story. I just told you that story so you can imagine it and enjoy it. But let's see, you know, what they all did here. As they went through, you know, the angel of the Lord, which separated between them and so forth, when he saw that the children of Israel had gone through on dry ground, you know, then the angel of the Lord removed that pillar of fire so the Egyptians could charge ahead. And he suckered them in. That's right. They charged ahead into the Red Sea right after them. They pursued, we are told, and went in after them into the midst of the sea. So let's read it from verses 21 to about 23 or so. You know, when Moses stretched forth his hands, strong wind passed all that night, the waters were divided, and the dry land appeared. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians, after the angel of the Lord removed the pillar of fire, they pursued. And went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass, they drove hard after them, you know, and then the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud, and troubled their host, took off their chariot wheels, and that they drave them hard heavily. And the Egyptians said, let us flee, but it was too late, right in the middle. Lord, I sucker them in. You know, now, you mess with God's children, boy, you're going to pay for it. You know, and they messed with God's children. The Lord said, well, you know, Israel is my firstborn. You mess with my firstborn, I'm going to deal with yours as well. You know, all the firstborn in Egypt were killed. As if that was not enough, this man should have fallen on his face, you know, and just cried out for mercy. But his heart continue to be hardened. Of course, the Lord said that would be the case. And finally, you know, the Lord is going to show him here who is the Lord. You know, all of them right in the middle of that sea where there was nowhere else to turn. Then Moses, he stretched forth his hands again, the rod over the water again. And my goodness, a reverse. All that 15 foot high or 20 foot high or whatever, how high the, you know, the thing was on either side, you know, that thing began to come crashing down on them. And all of them, every last one of them, were destroyed. You know, my goodness. And the Lord, he saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And the sea closed up, and Israel was on the other side. And all they saw were the remains, the helmets, the wheels, and some things and so forth. Some things washed up on shore, some things they didn't see, you know, and so on. I was like, my goodness. And now they knew that the Lord had given them their victory. And Israel saw the great work that the Lord did upon the Egyptians that day, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, and they believed his servant Moses. Hallelujah. Last verse of that 14th chapter of Exodus. They did too. You know, but the Lord is saying to you today, you may be facing your own Red Sea moments. What might that be for you? Well, whereas the Lord called you on a journey, and he set your path forward, but all kinds of things begin to close in against you to make sure you don't get there. But remember the word of the Lord. As you remember and hear it today, you must go forward. That's the word for us today. There's a story in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. And we're going to see River Jordan. You know, and so forth. You know, now, in this story, this time around, Moses is gone. You know, Joshua, you know, he has seen this before too. And so he's here with some thing that is going to happen. Let's read this. Let's pick the story here. You know, Joshua is going to speak to the priests and everybody that they're going to need to go over Jordan. You know, he said, it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests that Levites are behind, then you shall remove from your place and you shall go after it. Again, you must go forward and stand still. You got to go forward. yet there be some space between you and it, and so forth. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Hallelujah. And this young man Joshua, he had faith. And Joshua spake unto the priest and said, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. So they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come, you know, to the brink of the water, you know, of Jordan, then you shall stand still in Jordan. You know, the reason is, as long as they are in there, the thing is going to part and the people will pass through on dry land. And Joshua said to the people, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you. You know, and he's going to drive out, you know, that now it's more than just the Red Sea. Now they've got the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. All these things, all these nations that are before them now, that they got to pass through. Now behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the earth passeth over before you. Now is the Lord going before you or not? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. What did the Lord have to say to you today? You know, well, here's what he says. It is the Lord your God that doth go before you. He will be with you and he will not fail you, neither forsake you. Therefore, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. The Lord, he it is that doth go before you. It is not just with you, he's even before you. You're going ahead of you, all you got to do is follow. Hallelujah. But you must follow. You must go forward. And you cannot stand still. If you stand still, you know, it's not going to work. So these people, let's return to the story in Joshua. When they, when the Joshua commanded them, the Lord had given him courage like that. And he had courage in his heart, you know, and it came to pass. You know, it came to pass that he said, the Lord told him that, look, it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of the whole earth, shall rest on the waters of Jordan, that the waters shall be cut off. The Lord told it to Joshua, and he told it to the people. You know, so, and then it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, that the priests that bearing the ark of the covenant went before the people. And as they that bear the ark came unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that were bearing the ark were dipped in the sea, and in the, I mean, dipped in the brim of the water. Now Jordan overflows its banks at that time. You know, that the waters came to pass that as soon as their feet touched the waters of Jordan, it came to pass that even at that moment, that all the waters that came down from above stood and rose up on an heap. And far from the city Adam, and beside Zeratan, and those that came down, you know, these waters came from everywhere and converged into that river. You know, and at that time they were cut off, and they piled up, and the dry land appeared. And Joshua said, well, I've seen that before. And, you know, they, and the, all the waters that were coming in, you know, all the tributaries and different things that, you know, plowed into that river, they were cut off. They dried off. They failed. They were cut off. And the people passed over on dry land that day. But they had to go forward. You know, you couldn't just stay in one place. The commander in chief said, you must go forward. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, they stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan until all the the Israelites were passed over on dry ground. And after that, everybody passed over. See? Now, sometimes because of problems and difficulties that we face, well, you will your heart may fail. You know, opportunity to turn back, your heart and different things will fail when you see all the challenges. The Lord tried to help them avoid many things that will, you know, cause their heart to fail. You know, take them around a long out journey and so forth, so they don't see the different things and war and so forth. But yet, there's no way they could escape. There were various things, but you got to keep going forward. Now, what happens if you do not go forward? Well, or if you look at all the things around you, and then because of that, you don't make a move. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and verses 3 and 4, it'll tell you what happens, you know, when you look at all those things. You know, he says, look, if you are constantly looking around instead of setting your eyes forward, well, here's what happens. If the clouds be full of rain, they will empty themselves on the earth. Don't worry about it. And if the earth falls toward the south, well, the place where it, you know, falls, that's where it will be. What's your concern with that? Don't worry about it. You know, the cloud will do its thing. The tree may fall and so forth, but you got to plow forward. Now, but if you stand there observing the wind, you say, he that observeth the wind will not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Today, it's windy and so on. You say, well, it's going to be windy, it's going to be raining, so you're not going to go out and sow anything. Well, then you are not going to reap anything either. You know, so he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, but the one that goes forward, wow, when they know the way of the Spirit, they go forward, follow the captain of the host. You're going to get the victory. Now, the Lord said we must go forward. Go forward also means leave the past behind. You know, we got to leave the past behind. You know, you can't, you know, live in the past. You got to just leave that past alone. You know, in Hebrews 11 and verse 15, we're told that these people that came out from somewhere and they were going and looking for somewhere, you know, if they would have been mindful of the country where they came out, they would have had opportunity to have returned. And so was this group of people. They were always mindful of Egypt. And they wanted to return. Only that, you know, Moses did not allow them. Many of them actually already returned in their hearts. Their hearts turned back to Egypt. But the Lord said, you must go forward. The Lord is always telling us to go forward, you know, and not to look back. In the book of Genesis chapter 19, there's a story there. You can read it in verses 15 to 17 and also verses 22 to 26. The Lord had sent a couple of angels to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord, being merciful unto them, even when they lingered, you know, he pulled them out by the hand. The Lord said through the angels to them, he said, look, arise to Lot, take thy wife and thy daughters and so forth. And lest you be consumed with the iniquity of the field. Get out of here. And while they lingered, you know, the Lord, having mercy upon them, were told that, you know, the angel of the Lord laid hold on him and so forth. The Lord being merciful unto him, brought him forth, set him without the city and told him, escape for your life. Look not behind. Go forward only. Leave the past alone. Escape. Well, you know, of course, it didn't work out well with every one of them. You know, they escaped, we are told, but unfortunately, one of them looked back, whereas the Lord had said, don't look back. And the Lord, you know, warned them carefully with that, but his wife looked back from behind him in verse 26, and she became a pillar of salt. Might be radiation or whatever got her, I don't know. But the Lord told them, go forward only, escape for your life, don't even look back. There's a lot of lessons to learn from that, but you know, this one woman, she looked back. I don't know what was in her heart. She didn't want to leave that place and so forth. and that did not turn out well for her. And the Lord said this thing in Luke 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. You know, he didn't say too much about it, but he just left it there. You know, remember Lot's wife. Just remember Lot's wife. And he said, look, in that day, there shall be on the housetop this, you know, stuff and so forth that's happening. You know, escape for your life. Don't come down. Don't go back. And the Lord said, go forward. Go forward. There's stories in the Bible that tell us that even in spiritual things, let's consider spiritual things as well. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, Paul is saying, look, never mind the things which are behind, whether they are failures or successes, but you got to press forward toward the goal of the overcomer. You know, so failures, successes, what do you do with those? Well, for failures, you got to learn and move forward. Now, you got to learn something out of that. You know, you got to learn something out of that situation and gain something and go forward with it. You know, successes, well, you know, if you don't move forward even from your successes, that's all the end of the success. You got to go forward for greater and new horizons. So whether failures or success in the past, we got to keep moving forward. And if you do not go forward, then you'll never be better than the past. You know, so, you know, a lot of people live in their past because they just will not move forward. But the Lord is speaking to us expressly today that you must go forward. So let's analyze this for our lives and situations that we face in life. You know, today, what is the Red Sea moment that you are facing? Now, the Lord that literally parted the Red Sea in those days for the children of Israel, he can do the same for you no matter what you face today. The Lord has said to the proud waves, thus far and no further, when he created the earth, he gave, you know, all the, you know, the seas and so forth, their boundaries. Hallelujah. Lord also, he says to, there are some things, you know, that you are facing. There are some things that have been challenges for you. It's like, look, you know, when will this thing ever end? You know, I conquer one thing and something else springs up. You conquer one thing and something. Well, that's just life. That's the way it is. But here is the word of the Lord unto you today, according to Proverbs 23 and verse 18. For surely there is an end. Hallelujah. And your expectation shall not be cut off. You know, they were in there for 400 years. In fact, many of them lost hope. Generation after generation, it got worse and worse and worse. And even when Moses came to them to try to encourage them to believe for their escape and that God was going to take them out of there, their situations got even worse because Pharaoh said, well, these people are idle. They're idle. That's why they say we're going to go, worship the Lord. Well, let there be more burden laid in upon them. You know, take away the straw. Let them go find straw for themselves, but diminish nothing from the tail of bricks that they have to bring, you know, and so on. And it's like, look, when you gave us straw and you gave us all these things, we made, you know, so many bricks per day, per person. And when we don't have straw, how in the world are we going to do it? And then he's telling us that the tail of bricks should not diminish. And so they cried against Moses and said, you made our situation worse. So sometimes, you know, you've heard the saying, it looks like it might get worse before it gets better. Well, it actually did for those children of Israel. It got worse. It got seriously worse, you know, because their situation was hardened. Pharaoh laid in more burdens upon them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me speak against the Pharaohs. The things that I might be chasing you down. When God said for you to go forward, well, the Red Sea is there. God's going to take care of the Red Sea. God's going to take care of Pharaoh as well. But there's something that you must do. Hallelujah. And that's go forward. Now, In the book of Isaiah, I'm going to read this to you from Isaiah, and I'm going to pray a prayer over you today, give you encouragement. You know, now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, I'm going to read from verse 4. You know, there is something that the Lord is proclaiming for you today. The Lord says, I've broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor. The Lord done it too. For every battle of the warrior, this is where I'm going today. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled with blood. But this one shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Look, in when you are in battle or in a war, what do you think happens? You know, there is confused noise. There is bloodshed. There's all kinds of things, you know. I mean, some people are victors. Some people are vanquished, you know. And, you know, at the end of it, my goodness, there may be many slain, even on either side. You know, and sometimes it's like, wow, you know, what was this all about? But this kind of battle that we are in today, you're not going to lose your blood. Jesus already did that for us. You know, he's going to get you through it with a high hand. It's called the burning and fuel of fire from the Lord. Burn up all those things. Consume them, because our God is a consuming fire. But you got to trust him. And you got to move forward. And the Lord wants you today to believe him with all of your heart. There is an end. Always there is an end. Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us, well, to everything there's a season. There's a season for something to start. And there's a season for something to end. Praise the Lord. So your struggles, they also have an end. In a situation that seemed like it lasted forever has an end. In the book of Psalm 30 and verse 5, we're told that the night of sorrow cannot last forever. Sorrow may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning, because no night can last forever. And the day must certainly break at some point in time. I don't care how long the night lasts, it must certainly break. But we have to encourage ourselves with these words so that we will know that God, who said to us that he is the one that doth go before us, has also said to us to not be afraid nor be dismayed, and that we should go forward. And go forward we must. What does that mean? Well, that means the things that the Lord told you that you thought everything is not working, the Lord said, go forward. Praise the Lord. You have to go forward. Now, don't give up and don't give in. You know, and it's, you know, when we are faced with all kinds of things like these Red Sea moments, you know, our heart may turn back and we may forget the high hand of the Lord that brought us thus far. The children of Israel, they did. They forgot the high hand of the Lord that brought them thus far. But today I say to you, be encouraged in the Lord. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. And who is this King of glory? Well, he is the Lord mighty in battle. And he will fight for you, not with confused noise, not with garments rolled in blood, but he's going to fight for you with burning and fuel of fire. And he's going to consume your enemies and make a way for you. And he already gone before us. We just got to believe God, step out in faith and follow. Now, God brought them out with a high hand. Now, is his hand now shortened that it cannot save? I mean, is his hand now weary? Now, remember, God's hand is never weary, quite unlike us. Moses' hand at one time was weary, you know, when Joshua was fighting the battle in the valley. Moses' hand, they raised it up, his hand, and as long as he raised it up, they were winning. And then his hands become weary. So Aaron and Hur had to go underneath and prop up his hands. Well, that's not God. God's hand is not weary. what he starts, he will finish. In fact, what he starts is already finished. Now, some of you may have heard me say that before, that the Lord does not start anything until first he has finished it. That's right. Because with him, you know, everything is already past. It's already done. We just got to walk by faith. Listen to this. I know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. That's right. Do you know that though? This man said he knows. What do you? Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it so that men should fear before him. Now listen to this. In verse 15 of Ecclesiastes 3. That which has been is now. That means the past is present. And that which is yet to be has already been. That means the future is past. That's with the Lord. And God required that which is past. You know, with him, what we think is already, I mean, is yet to be, has already been. It's already done. Now, of course, something that this man was saying here, that there's nothing new under the sun. But there's a revelation behind this too. That look, as far as God is concerned, what in our own sphere and realm is yet to happen, with him, it's already happened. Praise the Lord. So if you have that confidence, then go forward. Father, I pray, Lord, today, through these few words, that there may be encouragement in the hearts of your people to go forward and not to be dismayed. Don't say there are giants in the land. Of course there are giants in the land. The Lord knew there were giants in the land, but yet he told you to go forward. Don't say in your heart, how can we cross the Red Sea? The Lord knew the Red Sea is there. But he'll make a way. Hallelujah. Lord said, I'm the one that makes a way in the wilderness. Make a path even through the sea if he needs to. We just got to believe. Now, Lord, let all your people take courage this morning to go forward. In the name of Jesus. We must go forward. Hallelujah. And we must not look back. In fact, even the same thing in spiritual things, Jesus said in Luke 9 and 62, anyone having placed his hands on the plow and looked back, it's not even fit for the kingdom. So we must not look back. Once we have stepped out by faith on that journey with the Lord, don't look back. Praise the Lord. The Lord may take you through a different way. You know, may take you through this way and that way. It may not be the way you thought it would go, but he'll get you there because he's already been there. And he knows the way through the wilderness. Praise God. Father, bless everyone that's in the room today. Cause your face to shine upon us, all your children, in the name of Jesus. Let our hands be strengthened. Strengthen the hands that are feeble on here this morning. You know, the hands that are hanging down, let them be lifted up. Confirm the feeble knees. Let the heads that be bowed down be raised up. Let the King of Glory come on in. In the name of Jesus. Victory for your children, even on this day, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.